Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, I'm Quinn. I'm 32, run a small interior design business, and until yesterday, I thought my nephew was dead. Funny how life throws these curveballs sometimes. You sure you want to knock down this wall? It looks load-bearing. Morgan stood behind me with a sledgehammer, her safety goggles pushed up on her forehead. Trust me, I've been in enough houses to know. Besides, Ethan never cared about proper renovations, always cutting corners. It had been 3 months since my brother abandoned this place, just packed up and disappeared after a year of playing the grieving father. And now here I was, helping clear out his house so it could be sold to pay off his debts. Remember the funeral? I leaned against the wall, suddenly overwhelmed by memories. The tiny casket, Ethan crying harder than anyone. Even Vanessa was consoling him despite their divorce. Yeah, that was rough. How's she doing these days?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Still in therapy? How do you recover from losing your 3-year-old in a drowning accident? Especially when they never found the body. I still remembered that day at the lake. Ethan had taken Leo for a father-son weekend. Came back alone, hysterical, saying Leo had wandered off while he was setting up the tent. Search teams combed that water for days. Did you hear that? Morgan froze, hammer mid-swing. Probably just old pipes. No, it sounded like a whimper. We both stood silently. Then I heard it too, a small, muffled sound from behind the basement wall. That's no pipe. We rushed downstairs. The basement was already half demolished, exposing shoddy construction and weird modifications. This wall wasn't in the original plans. I ran my hands over the surface. And look, these marks on the floor. Something slides here. We found the hidden latch after 10 frantic minutes. The false wall slid open, revealing a small, dimly lit room with a child-sized bed, some toys, and a little boy huddled in the corner. Holy shit, Morgan whispered. The boy looked up, his face dirty, hair matted. Those eyes, I'd know them anywhere. Leo? My voice cracked. He didn't speak, just stared with wide, frightened eyes. I don't believe it. He's supposed to be dead. We had a funeral. My hands were shaking as I crouched down. Hey, buddy, it's Auntie Quinn. Do you remember me? A tiny nod. Where's Daddy? His voice was raspy, unused. Not here right now. Can I come closer? Another nod. Morgan was already on the phone. Yes, we need police and an ambulance. We've just found a missing child. No, you don't understand. He was reported dead a year ago. I carefully approached Leo, noticing the mini fridge, the bucket toilet, the barred window too small for escape. My brother had kept his own son prisoner while convincing the world he was dead. You're safe now, I whispered, fighting back tears. I promise, you're safe. But inside, a cold rage was building. Ethan had played us all, the grieving father act, the tears, the sympathy he'd milked. And somewhere out there, my brother was living a new life, thinking he'd gotten away with it. Not anymore. The ambulance arrived with sirens blaring. Leo clung to me like a koala, refusing to let go even when the paramedics tried to check him. Hey, buddy, they just want to make sure you're okay. I'll be right here. A female paramedic knelt beside us. Can you tell me if anything hurts, sweetheart? Leo shook his head, burying his face in my shoulder. He's malnourished, she told me quietly. Vitamin D deficiency from lack of sunlight. We need to get him to the hospital. The police were everywhere, photographing the hidden room, dusting for prints. Detective Russo introduced himself with a firm handshake. "I've never seen anything like this in 20 years on the force. You're saying this is your brother's son? The one declared dead last year?" "Yes. Ethan faked the whole drowning, the funeral, the grief counseling. All of it was a show. We found documents in a lockbox. Life insurance policy for $500,000 on the boy, collected 6 months ago." My blood boiled. "That's why he did this? Money? And possibly custody. Court records show your brother lost a nasty battle right before the drowning. His ex-wife was granted full custody." I flashed back to the funeral. Ethan sobbing uncontrollably, having to be supported by two people as they lowered the empty casket. Vanessa embracing him despite their bitter divorce, both united in grief. All while Leo was hidden away in that room. "Someone needs to call Vanessa," I said, watching the ambulance prepare to leave with Leo. "Already happening. She's meeting us at the hospital." I rode in the ambulance, holding Leo's hand while texting Morgan. "They're searching for evidence of premeditation," Morgan replied. "Found receipts for construction materials dated weeks before the drowning." At the hospital, a doctor examined Leo while I waited outside. A social worker bombarded me with questions I barely had answers for. "Did you ever suspect anything?" "If I had, do you think I'd have waited a year to check behind his walls?" Vanessa burst through the hospital doors, wild-eyed and frantic. Her hair was different than I remembered, cut short, graying at the temples, though she was only 34. "Is it true? Please don't tell me this is some cruel joke." "It's him, Vanessa. It's really Leo." She collapsed against the wall, her legs giving out. I caught her before she hit the floor. I felt it. Everyone said I was crazy, that I needed to accept it, but I felt he was still alive. When they finally let us see Leo, Vanessa approached slowly, afraid he wouldn't recognize her. "Mommy?" His small voice cracked. The reunion shattered my heart and mended it simultaneously. Vanessa held him like she'd never let go again. Detective Russo pulled me aside. "We found more. Your brother emptied his accounts 2 days before disappearing. New driver's license issued in Arizona under the name Ethan Brooks instead of Ethan Hayes." "He's using our mother's maiden name," I realized. "Where in Arizona?" "Phoenix. But he could be anywhere by now." I felt my jaw tighten. "Not for long. I'm going to find him." "Miss Hayes, leave this to professionals." "You don't understand. He's my brother. I know how he thinks, where he might hide." "And what will you do if you find him?" I watched Vanessa and Leo through the doorway, reunited after a year of manufactured grief. Make sure he pays for every tear they shed. 2 weeks after finding Leo, I sat in Detective Russo's cramped office surrounded by coffee cups and case files. He opened a bank account in Phoenix 3 months ago, deposited $250,000, half the insurance money. "What about the other half?" I leaned forward, studying the bank statements. "Transferred to an offshore account. We're tracking it." Morgan burst in without knocking, waving her phone. "You won't believe what I found. Ethan has a business profile on LinkedIn. He's calling himself a financial consultant now." "The nerve of this guy." "There's more." Detective Russo slid a folder across his desk. "Your brother has a pattern. Before Vanessa, he was engaged to a woman in Oregon. Drained her savings, disappeared. Before that, an elderly client from his financial advisor days lost her retirement fund." "So he's not just a child-abusing monster, he's a serial con man." The folder contained photos of smiling women, all with the same hollow expression after Ethan finished with them. "We've located his apartment in Phoenix, but surveillance shows he hasn't been there in days. He's spooked." That night, I visited Leo and Vanessa at her sister's house where they were staying. Dr. Ellis, the child psychologist, was just leaving. "How's he doing?" I asked her in the driveway. "Processing trauma takes time. He keeps asking about his father." "What do we tell him?" "The truth, in age-appropriate ways. That his father did something very wrong and can't be with him right now." Inside, Leo was building a tower with blocks, more animated than I'd seen since finding him. "Auntie Quinn," Look how tall. Wow, that's incredible. You're so good at building. Vanessa pulled me into the kitchen. Any news? We have a plan to catch him, but I need your help. The plan came together over the next 3 days. Detective Russo reluctantly agreed after I insisted on being involved. You'll post on social media about a family emergency. Your mother's had a stroke. Tag Ethan. Mention how she's asking for him. He won't come back for that. You'll also mention she's updated her will. He thinks she's wealthy, right? Our mom has a small life insurance policy. Nothing fancy, but Ethan doesn't know that. We created the perfect bait money plus a chance to play the concerned son without risking capture. Detective Russo stationed plainclothes officers around my apartment and the hospital where my fictional mother was supposedly dying. 3 agonizing days passed with no sign of Ethan. I split my time between surveillance shifts and visiting Leo, who was having nightmares. The bad room is gone now, right? He asked one night, clutching his dinosaur plushie. Yes, sweetheart. That room is gone forever. On the 4th day, hospital security called. A man matching Ethan's description had asked for my mother's room number. He's here, I texted Detective Russo. I positioned myself in the hospital cafeteria, heart pounding as I waited. When Ethan walked in, bearded now, hair dyed black, I almost didn't recognize him. But then he smiled at the receptionist, that same charming smile that had fooled us all. The officers moved in perfectly, surrounding him before he even realized what was happening. His eyes found mine across the room as they cuffed him. Hello, brother, I said, walking over slowly. Surprise. The interrogation room felt suffocating as I stared at Ethan across the metal table. His handcuffs clinked against the surface when he tried to reach for my hand. Don't you dare touch me. Quinn, you have to believe me. I was protecting him. Protecting him? In a hidden room? While collecting insurance money? Ethan's eyes darted around nervously. Vanessa wasn't fit to be a mother. The courts got it wrong. So you traumatized your own son and let everyone think he was dead? Do you have any idea what Vanessa went through? What we all went through? I'm sorry, okay? I messed up. But I love Leo. Everything I did was for him. I slammed my fist on the table. You kept him in a windowless room for a year. He used a bucket as a toilet while you cashed in his life insurance. Detective Russo entered, ending our conversation. Time's up. The trial lasted 3 grueling weeks. Ethan pleaded not guilty, his lawyer spinning tales about mental breakdowns and temporary insanity. I testified about finding Leo, about the funeral, about Ethan's elaborate performance as a grieving father. When the verdict came, guilty on all counts, Ethan crumbled, sobbing dramatically. 20 years, Morgan whispered beside me in the courtroom. No possibility of parole for 15. Vanessa gripped my hand so tight it hurt. It's finally over. 6 months later, I visited Leo at his therapy session with Dr. Ellis. He was drawing pictures of a smiling family. Who's that? I pointed to a figure wearing what looked like a striped jumpsuit, standing far away from the others. That's Dad. He's in time out for being bad. Dr. Ellis nodded approvingly. Leo understands his father did wrong and is facing consequences. He asked me yesterday if being bad is in his blood, Vanessa said quietly. If he'll grow up to be like Ethan. What did you tell him? That he's nothing like his father. That he's brave and kind and perfect. A letter arrived from prison the following week. I recognized Ethan's handwriting immediately. Aren't you going to open it? Morgan asked over lunch. Nope. I dropped it in the shredder. Nothing he could say matters now. By Leo's 5th birthday, you'd hardly know what he'd been through. He was playing t-ball, making friends, sleeping through the night without nightmares. Look at my medal, Auntie Quinn! He proudly showed off his participation award from his first game. That's awesome, buddy! You're a superstar! Vanessa and I sat on her porch that evening, watching Leo chase fireflies in the yard. We're buying the house, she announced. This neighborhood has the best school district. That's fantastic. Need help decorating? Interior designer, remember? Actually, I was thinking... There's a mother-in-law suite in the basement. If you wanted to be closer to Leo, I felt tears welling up. Are you asking me to move in? We're family, the good kind, the kind that sticks together. As Leo ran up with a jar of flickering lights, I realized we'd created something Ethan could never destroy, a family built on truth instead of lies, on love instead of control. I think I'd like that very much. What do you think? Should Leo ever be allowed to visit or reconnect with his father once he's older? Or should Ethan be permanently cut off from his son's life despite any future apologies or claims of rehabilitation? Share your thoughts in the comments below. If you enjoyed this revenge story of family justice, please hit that like button and subscribe for more compelling stories that explore complex family dynamics and the consequences of betrayal. New stories posted daily.